Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, a very special Sunday edition as we wait for these AFC and NFC championship games to kick off later this afternoon and into the evening. Obviously, the Packers are not participating, but, you know, there's three football games left until the great dark offseason. So I figured might as well hang out, talk with some Packers fans for a little bit here as we wait for kickoff to two going to be phenomenal football games. It's always one of the best weekends of the season when we get to the AFC and NFC championship games. Clearly, the hope is next year the Packers are at least knocking on the door, if not participating in this contest. They have plenty of work to do throughout this offseason, which we will chronicle all throughout this offseason here at Cheesehead TV. Hope you'll obviously be sticking with us each and every day. Monday through Friday, I'm doing these chats and all sorts of other content, both here on the YouTube channel and throughout all the Cheesehead TV social accounts. And of course, the website, cheeseheadtv.com. Hope you'll hop on board throughout the offseason. I'll be down in New Orleans a week from today. Fly down to get ready for the Super Bowl. I'll be on Radio Row throughout the week, both doing Cheesehead TV and stuff with 97.3 The Game. So make sure you check all that out. I'll be at the Combine all that week, and I'll be at the draft. So it's going to be a fun offseason. Like I said, I hope you'll be with us as we get ready for, look, two games where I don't think, I know I'm probably not in the minority here, but I am certainly rooting for the Commanders and the Bills to win their respective games and to face off in that Super Bowl because, God knows, yeah, I'm like everybody else. I'm sick of the Chiefs. And the Eagles, I actually am fine if they get to the Super Bowl. But I absolutely love the Commander story. I love Jaden Daniels, although he is wearing Louis Vuitton today into the stadium. And I don't know, that's a lot to overcome. Dak wore Louis Vuitton entering the stadium before he got destroyed by the Packers last season. Jordan Love himself wore Louis Vuitton into the stadium before getting handled by the Eagles a couple weeks ago. So, you know, forget the defense, forget the stadium, forget the opponent. Jaden Daniels has his biggest test yet to overcome the Louis Vuitton curse. I'm kidding. It's called having fun, people. Hello to everybody in the comments section. I hope you're all doing well. So good to see everybody. Before we get going, got to give a shout out to our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com, use code CHTV, spend $5 on lineups, get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, including Wisconsin, most importantly. Here are my picks for today. Here's my lineup. I got DeVonta Smith getting more than four receptions. I do think A.J. Brown is going to garner a lot of attention, as he often does, and that will help Smith, who I don't really think needs the help. He's good enough on his own, but certainly he is going to get his. Jaden Daniels, I do believe, will be over 225.5 passing yards. I don't think he's going to go ham, but I do think he's going to get his. James Cook, definitely think he gets more than two receptions. I think one of the key ways to attack that Chiefs defense is to get your running back involved in the passing game. And finally, old man Travis Kelce. I think he'll obviously be a focal point for the Chiefs offense, but I don't see him having a reception longer than 20.5 yards. Join in, folks. The link in the description of this video. Get after it and send me your lineups. I love it when you guys do that. What's going on, folks? Big B is here. What's up, Big B? Good to see you. I'm finally here. I had to do a Sunday chat to get you here, but here we are. I know you're a busy man. You got a life, but I appreciate you jumping on here. Melissa says, go Bills. Yes, go Bills. Most assuredly. No doubt about it. Jake, what's Jake talking about? Jake's up here bemoaning something. All right. What did you think of Clay saying he wanted to finish his career in Green Bay and we bring in Z and he brought juice, but tons of issues? Do you think we should have just let Clay finish as a Packer? That's interesting. Yes, I did see, you know, him talking about switching positions and doing so reluctantly, but it was effective. It certainly turned that defense around in 2014. To the point where they were on the doorstep of a Super Bowl. But I understand why Brian moved on when he did. And yes, he was still somewhat productive out there that final season in LA. Although if you go back and you actually watch the tape, some of that was schematic. Some of it was him having free lanes to a quarterback. I understand moving on a year too early rather than a year too late. Andy Herman brought this up earlier this week, talking about the release of Charles Woodson, where that one probably looks poorer in hindsight as far as, Ted wanting to get out a year too early rather than a year too late. And I understood it at the time, given Charles what looked like decline in play in Green Bay. But, man, he went back to Oakland and he absolutely ripped it up and proved that he still had some gas in the tank, so to speak. I think you're always kind of walking a line there, but I don't think it was a bad decision at all. And you talk about Z. Yeah, they brought Z and Preston in and they played well and they did give him a bunch of juice and they did not only help as far as what they brought along the edge, but they certainly, I don't think people remember the kind of the vibe around that time prior to their arrival, McCarthy out. And the vibe around Green Bay was very dour, very down. And then they come in that offseason and they change things around in the locker room in a big way, in a tangible way. And I'm not saying that Clay was a problem in the locker room. I'm just saying new blood, new voices, new energy was needed. And I thought they did an excellent job providing that. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's tough. It's always tough to bid adieu to a great, and Clay Matthews certainly was that. It's always going to be hard. And that's why they get paid the big bucks, they being the general manager. Same deal with Jordy Nelson. Moving on from Jordy was a tough call. And it was the right one, in my eyes. And it doesn't mean it's easy. So, yeah, I get where Clay is coming from. I understand why he might be frustrated at it and hold a little bitterness towards Brian because of it. But that's part of the job. And it's hard for me to criticize it in hindsight. Joe, what's up, man? What's Getsy's job going to be? We talked about this yesterday, or no, Friday. Nobody knows yet. Officially, there is no word. I suspect he's probably, I would think, in conversation to be the quarterback's coach, but that's not a given. It is a spot, obviously, that he's held on Matt's staff before. He has been Jordan Love's quarterback's coach in the past for one season. So that could potentially be it. Or maybe it's passing game coordinator or something along those lines. We'll see. The Packers usually announce a full kind of staff, obviously after all the hiring is done, but it usually tends to happen after the combine. So I wouldn't think we'd get specific news for a while yet. But I'm interested, much like yourself, to see what his official role is. Jonathan, how are you, man? Random Packer, Jonathan Franklin, one really solid game. What could have been? Oh, man. The mayor. I remember we did a video with him when I was at Bleacher Report. He was a really good dude, and he was very talented. He's just one of those guys that seems to really pop up in Green Bay with regularity, where you see all the promise and potential, and then one injury robs you for the rest of the career, so to speak, whether it's Franklin, Terrence Murphy, Nick Collins, etc., Jermichael Finley. Yeah, there's been a litany of them, man. It's tough. M, what's up, man? Hi, Nags. Hopefully next year we'll be running the show on championship weekend. Go Pack Go. That is the hope. That is the dream. Speaking of which, I highly recommend reading Bill Huber's new piece. In fact, when I'm done here, I should have done it before, but I'll put a link in the description of this video for everyone to go check it out, because I thought Bill had an excellent piece today over there at his Sports Illustrated site, looking at, I think it was 5 things that the Packers can do to improve to try and be in the championship game next year. One note in particular, I did tweet this one out, that I found fascinating. 17 players in the NFL this season had more than 10 sacks, and only one of those players is playing today. That's Fowler with the Commanders, who had 10.5. So even he didn't like bust the scale that way. And it's interesting because, I know that fans get frustrated with, Rashawn Gary or whoever for not having 15 double-digit, like big-time sack numbers. But that does kind of lead you to a point where it's a bit instructive, where it's much more about your collective and how you put pressure on the quarterback and or get him on the ground as a team, as a defense. And even if you're not getting him on the ground, are you pressuring him into mistakes and turnovers and things like that? That doesn't mean you don't want sacks. It doesn't mean that sacks are bad, obviously, but I do think it's noteworthy. Not one of the guys playing today for any 4 of these teams has more than 10.5 sacks on the year. Food for thought. Joey, what's going on, man? Chances Bobby Slowick joins Green Bay staff. I think there's a slight chance. I would be surprised. I don't know. It would start to feel maybe a little heavy on the offensive side of the coaching staff, but who knows? Maybe there's another move or two in Matt's future as far as maybe he does bring a Slowick on and bids adieu to somebody else. But right now, I would tend to doubt it, but things can change. Ryan, how are you, man? For the younger generations, the defense during the 90s Super Bowl years was dominant. This year, not so much. Ryan, I know you're looking at it through past colored glasses, but the Packers defense this year was pretty damn good. Now, dominant? No, you're right. I wouldn't give them that title just yet. However, they got a lot better as the year went on. And that was while they were dealing with a ton of injuries. And it was the first year after switching schemes. So Rome wasn't built in a day. Fritz Schirmer didn't walk in and have a dominant defense his first year. I think they're headed in the right direction. But yes, you're right. The 90s, especially 96, 97, that defense was fucking legit. No doubt about it. What else have we got? Has a rookie starting QB ever gone to the Super Bowl? I don't believe so off the top of my head from what I remember. I know Dan Marino got there in his second season, but I don't think we've ever had a rookie in the Super Bowl. I'm sure the chat will correct me here, but I believe this would be a first if Daniels is able to do it. Joe, what's up, man? This is a good question. Thoughts on playoff TV ratings being down? I do find that fascinating, and I do think some of it is fatigue with some of the matchups and or the football not being as good. I do think there's also something to be said about how reporting gets done around streaming numbers, and that is fragmenting the traditional television model and how it's measured and reported, etc. But I do think, yeah, there's certainly a case to be made for the NFL being a league in transition as we go from the generation that was plonked down in front of their television come hell or high water for matchups between Brady, Manning, Breeze, Rodgers, you know, that ilk, that kind of era, right? To what is now a very exciting time. Obviously, you've got Mahomes at the top of the heap because quarterbacks always drive this stuff. Josh Allen today, etc. I think you'll see today's numbers afterwards. I think will be probably insane. But yeah, I think there's something to be said for maybe traditionally people that would have been there regardless of teams and matchups, whatever, are a bit fatigued by the Chiefs stuff and the fact that the superstar quarterbacks of kind of the past era are no longer with us. So there, none of these guys have become must-see TV the way Mahomes and Allen have, right? I do think as these guys play more and get more kind of shine to them, so to speak, we'll see an uptick again in those playoff numbers. But yeah, it does feel like we're in a bit of a transitional period. No doubt about that. Rick, how about too many damn commercials? There's something to be said for it. When you go kickoff commercial or commercial kickoff commercial, that is the death knell, no doubt about it. She said, Joey, yes, thank you. Daniels would be the first rookie QB to make a Super Bowl. There you have it. Mike Witt, what's going on, man? Hey, Nags, underrated need. I think we need to re-sign Slayton. Could be the gravedigger of this defense going forward. Random Packer, Mark Murphy, the safety, not the owner. I loved Murphy growing up. He was one of my favorites. Yeah, the Slayton thing will be interesting because I do think he's got to be aware, and I'm sure his representation is aware. If he does hit the market, he'll get a nice contract. Can the Packers lock him up before that happens? Will they want to? I could see the case, especially when you look at the work he did, you know, in run defense, but he is a little bit out of the norm as far as traditionally what they want body type wise in this scheme. That doesn't mean they won't try to actively re-sign him. But I do think, yeah, it's going to have to make sense in the parameters of the Packers cap. They're not going to be able to, I wouldn't think, give him a deal that is going to be on par with what he could get in the open market. And he is undoubtedly going to be aware of that. So, you know, it takes two to tango. And I do think they'll probably make an attempt, but I don't think it's a given. JP, what's up, man? We'll be at Lambeau 52 weeks from today. I like where your head's at, man. I like where your head's at. It me 420. The Eagles center was just ruled out. Means Hurts will take snaps from only the third center in his career. Yes, after having moved on from Kelsey and then Juergens, but he has now been ruled out. So there you go. That is something to watch, no doubt about it. Do business people count for random Packer? Sure, Funko. Why not? Hey, Nags, checking in from Costa Rica. Go Commanders. What's up, Clark? Thanks for checking in, man. Appreciate you. Whoa, Christian's tube. Look at this. Did a half marathon yesterday out of Soldier Field and started with listening to Friday's Packers Daily. That is amazing. Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. Oh, here we go. Lieutenant Dan, he's on it. You mean people don't want to watch Mahomes flop around for someone breathing on him? It's a very real thing. You know, I talked about it. It was clipped. We have a short here on the YouTube channel about it. Mahomes is looking for it, man. And that does suck. And it is the worst shit to watch when the defense makes a play in a sport, in a league where everything is set up for them to fail. The defense makes a play on third down, yet the offense is gifted a first down and another set of downs because Mahomes has flopped or looked up at the ref and gone, ow. It is hard to watch. It does the sport a major disservice. I very much agree with you. And it wouldn't surprise me if people have tuned out in parts because of it, right? It is, as you can tell, it gets my blood going. Taymor, what's going on, man? Being in California, I don't understand the depth of the Packers-Bears rivalry. I hate the Niners way more. Is it just a Midwest thing? Well, it might be somewhat regional. It's also historical. You know, the Bears part of it is certainly rooted in the tradition that goes way back to, you know, the start of the franchises. And the fact that the two teams' fan bases would travel, you know, back and forth for those games. And it's one of the reasons one of the main reasons Papa Bear back in the day helped keep the Packers afloat, because so many Packers fans would make the journey from Green Bay to Chicago and pay for tickets and inject tons of money into the, you know, not only ticket sales, but the economy in Chicago, that he felt it was a wise investment to make sure that Green Bay didn't go under. So there is certainly a Midwest kind of rooted part of it, but it's also the divisions, and they've been playing for 100 years. Plus, I mean, as much as the 49ers can be a thorn in our side, like, that hasn't been going on for 100 years, though they have played more in the postseason than any other two sets of teams, which is kind of fascinating to me. But I know you youngsters don't know this, but there was a time we owned the 49ers. That's right. Remember Mariucci's famous quote when he first got hired, how are we going to beat the Packers? Because we absolutely owned them. Now, as of late, that has turned a little bit, no doubt about it. But most of these things are cyclical. And with the 49ers, there's certainly a recency thing where I can understand why someone would hate them, especially if you live in California. But historically, that is where the Bears rivalry is number one, because of just how long it's been going on and the roots for both organizations. Mike Witt, what's up? What's up with Ben Johnson taking a shot at Matt LaFleur? Why does everyone hate us, LOL? Because we're successful. The Packers have won more games and more championships than anybody else, and we, Packers fans, will let everyone know about it any chance we get, which is fine. That's the whole point, right? You win, you get to talk about it. I got no problem with that. So because of that, the rest of the NFL, especially the division rivals, they get a little sick of it. There's no doubt. But we do live rent-free in their heads, and it is kind of adorable. And the fact that, yeah, Ben Johnson takes this shot out of nowhere when he and Matt LaFleur have, like, no previous working relationship. They aren't buddies. Like, he just did it. I mean, I love it. Adds a little spice to the rivalry. I'm all for that. You guys know. I'll lean into it. But, yeah, if we just live in their heads rent-free, essentially. Mimsy, what's up? We mostly respect the Bears. We loathe the Vikings. 100% correct. Ryan, what's up? Will Johnson and Matt LaFleur shake hands after the first game between Chicago versus Green Bay? I have no idea. Stay tuned. I'm fascinated to see what Matt will say the first time he has to talk about it, whenever he's asked about it, which I assume will be down at the owners' meetings, because he never goes to the combine anymore. So whenever the next owners' meeting is, he'll most likely be in attendance, and I suspect he'll get asked about it. But yeah, I don't know, man. I suspect you'll get a cursory handshake. I mean, even Matt LaFleur and Mike Zimmer had that quick handshake back in the day. So I think there will be a handshake, but how quick it will be fun to watch. Big Al, what's going on, man? Do you agree with Goody's approach of finding young talent via free agency? Because I'm in the camp of finding veteran talent this free agency. Well, I think it all depends on your definition of veteran, right? And look, just because the guys are coming off their rookie contracts doesn't mean they haven't played a bunch of ball. I think, and Matt and Brian both talked about this, you know, we have a young squad, but it's not like they haven't banked a ton of reps. I don't mind the idea of finding older veterans, to use a phrase, but, you know, guys hanging on at the end of their career, ages 38, 39, I don't think that's a wise investment. The whole point of free agency is to kind of repurpose or paper over cracks that you've made in mostly, oftentimes, drafting mistakes. Like, you could make the case that Josh Jacobs was kind of re-upping because he's essentially what they were hoping A.J. Dillon would turn into. And Xavier McKinney is clearly what they had hoped Darnell Savage would become. You know, now it's never that linear, but that's a component of it. So if I'm trying to do that, I want guys who can grow with my program and who are there along the same trajectory as the rest of my locker room. That doesn't mean you completely kind of ignore aging veterans that can offer you something and play a role. Mercedes Lewis being a perfect example. Who, by the way, that was a Brian signing, you know? So I think there's a case for it. I just think it's much smarter to invest in guys who are still on the kind of ascending part of their careers. That's not a tried and true rule. I don't think you do that completely with blinders, but I think that is probably your guiding principle. And I think that's smart. Joe, what's up, man? People criticize Goody's reliance on RAS, but most of the elite talent in the league have a high RAS. Random Packer, Calvin Jones, RIP. Well, you remember, and I know you're not saying this, but remember, the Packers don't use RAS. Like, they have their own metrics. Whoever invented RAS, he has cracked the code as far as the parameters, right? And yes, to your point, and I've talked about this, like, usually, if you do have poor athletic testing, that will catch up to you eventually in the NFL. Now, it doesn't mean you can't be productive. It doesn't mean you can't play a role. But more often than not, you want guys who fall inside those parameters, because not only are they going to be great athletes and able to do a lot of different things for you, but oftentimes, if you can coach them up, they can become really good fucking football players. I know RAS has a bad rap online, but I do think it's a good guiding principle. Mike Witt, what's going on, man? Trade for DK Metcalf, not going to happen, but would love it. I do think we're going to bring Devontae home, though. Just a gut feeling. Yeah, I don't see either one of those things happening, man. I know it would be a fun storyline to have Devontae back in the building, but I just can't imagine, after everything we just talked about for aging veterans and things like that. I know the outcry online and publicly is they need to get a number one, right? I think the guys they have in the building need to play a lot better. And I do think there's a possibility they look to the draft to maybe add some more talent to that room. I'd just be surprised if they had some big free agent signing, especially at the wide receiver position. Or to your point, to trade for DK Metcalf, another older player. I mean, look, I could be completely off. There's every possibility that those things happen, but I just tend to doubt it. Ayahuasca, how you doing, man? I've heard talk of Dan Campbell being a product of his coordinators, and I think that's far from the truth. If anything, they are a product of Campbell. His teams are a direct reflection of him. Dude, I very much agree with you. And I've heard the same talk. And look, the proof will be in the pudding, right? We'll start to see this season how he does, how his coordinators do away from him as head coaches. But yeah, man, I don't think they just miraculously turn things around because Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, started to suddenly figure it out. No, I do. I'm with you. I think Dan is a good head coach. His teams do reflect him in a very positive way. We do have no idea how he will fare without those two guys going forward, but I am excited to kind of watch it play out here, no doubt about it. All out news. Got some downer for you. Matt LaFleur is McCarthy 2.0. Don't see this team being any better with him as coach. McCarthy 2.0. So they're going to win a championship with him? Sounds good to me. Everyone forgets that Mike McCarthy was a really good fucking coach. A very highly successful NFL coach, to use coach's own terminology. I understand he wore out his welcome. He certainly, the message had gotten stale. He and Aaron were at loggerheads. He had to go. I'm not saying he didn't. But like, to act like Mike McCarthy was a terrible coach or like this middling guy who did nothing for the franchise, please. God. Take off your blinders, people. Oh, if all Matt LaFleur ever does is, oh, bring another championship back to Titletown. Oh, the horror. Some of you need to get your heads checked. J-Rock, what's going on, man? I believe the eye test is real. Watching other quarterbacks like Allen, Burrow, early Rodgers, Favre all look like warriors regardless of talent, I don't see that in love. Do you? There are way more ways to win than just being one type of quarterback or having one kind of eye test or feeling about it. And that's all you're talking about is a feeling while watching a guy. I understand all the kind of hand-wringing at the end of the year. People say, oh, he's not fiery enough on the sideline. And you did hear Matt talk about how he would like to show Jordan to show a little bit more leadership going forward. But that doesn't mean anything. Play the game, have good results, be productive, and you can win a whole lot of games and hopefully a championship. But this idea that Jordan Love can never be whatever. Oh, you're talking about Allen, Josh Allen. This is Josh Allen, right? Who's an MVP candidate and is playing today in a championship game, who couldn't hit the broadside of a fucking barn his rookie year, and his second year looked like a total disaster at times. There were certainly moments of brilliance because he's Josh Allen, but there hadn't been moments of brilliance from Jordan Love. Did anyone forget about the amazing throw where he's got a guy literally in his face in Detroit? He sidesteps him and finds Watson across his body perfectly while getting taken down. Like, I don't understand. Because Jordan Love is not those guys, any moment of brilliance, he's, quote, lucky. But when he has a poor game or a poor stretch, it's, well, he just doesn't pass the eye test. Have you totally forgotten about all the amazing plays? The amazing throws, the fucking deep shot to Jaden Reed against the Rams. Although, again, that's a great, amazing, insane play. The reason you come out to the ballgame. But, oh, I'm sure he was just lucky. Right, because Josh Allen, Brett Favre, they never had lucky throws either, right? This is what kills me. It's, again, it's the people who watch every snap of the Green Bay Packers but have no kind of concept of, like, the rest of the league. This is what drives me nuts. It drives me insane. Absolutely crazy. Nady D, what's going on, man? Can you explain the difference between a 3-4 and 5 technique on the D-line? I hear you talk about it a lot with Slayton. Well, it's funny. Funnily enough, a 3 tech would be what I would want Kenny Clark to be playing more often than not. I will do a video breakdown with someone who's a lot more versed in that stuff than myself, just so I don't give you any kind of nonsense. I will say it's funny to me that with this scheme, it does seem like a lot of that stuff is a lot more interchangeable than it has been in the past. But I'll have Cody Alexander come on and we'll talk about it and he'll run through it. And I kind of did a little bit last offseason, but let's just say with Slayton, I do think he was playing a lot of five this year, and I think without a question, he'd be playing a lot of that wherever he went. Let's just say that. Robin, how are you, man? Hey, Nags, hope you're well, my guy. Any update on Ireland? That would be a meetup of all meetups. Nothing yet, and they haven't even announced the official kind of Steelers are going part of it yet, so we probably won't have any reporting around it until that happens. But, you know, fingers crossed, Packers are headed to Ireland to play the Steelers. GZTV will be there without question. Fausti, what's going on, man? Buffalo finally winning a Super Bowl would be amazing for Dom Beebe and James Lofton, Scott Norwood redemption tour. I was saying yesterday, I was talking to some friends, I know a lot of the younger folks, fans, what have you, have no concept of the Bills going to 4 Super Bowls in a row and losing all 4 of them. I can't even fathom that in today's media landscape. Like the way Twitter would burn each and every year more and more if that occurred, right? But yeah, 100% really, really want it for fans who live through that just to finally get that kind of monkey off their back, so to speak. And look, Bills fans are awesome. I love that fan base. I love the organization. I love Josh Allen. I'm rooting for them 100%. Mostly for your point, they're fans, longtime fans of the Bills who've seen some shit, and I want them to be happy. William James, what's going on, man? This isn't Madden. Not every quarterback comes in at a 99 overall. Favre's entire Monday night versus the Raiders was lucky. Random Packer, Mark Ingram. Oh, William. All right. I don't think Favre's Monday nighter after his father passed was lucky. I do think there were some, certainly some throws that were ill-advised where his receivers went up and made plays for him. And that's the point, right? I mean, Love has had some guys making plays for him. Christian Watson laying out against the Texans. There are a couple others. You could Jaden Reed on that Rams throw. You know, there are certainly evidence of that. But that's the point. It's what Matt always talks about. It takes everybody. Like, guys got to protect. Jordan's got to put the ball where it's supposed to be. Guys got to go make a play if it's not where it's supposed to be. Or just simply hang on to the ball, leading the league in drops. You know? It's all intertwined. Joe, how are you, man? Here is a reminder for people who think spending in free agency is the key to success. The 2025 free agent class will be the 2027 cap casualties. Sometimes, Joe, not always. Sometimes they are helpful, and sometimes they contribute to forward movement in a program or to a championship, etc. But certainly, it's like everything when it comes to constructing your program or your roster. It has to fit and it has to complement each other. Just to do it, and this is my, I always talk about it every offseason, don't mistake activity for achievement. Just because you're signing guys doesn't mean it's going to be helpful. Doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. John Simatovich, what's up? F the haters, Nag. CHTV is the boss. If you know, you know. Well, that is very nice of you to say, man. Ryan, thanks again, man. Super Bowl 59, Buffalo versus Washington. That is what I am hoping for. No question about it. All right, everybody. I'm going to have to get going. Can't thank you enough for hanging out on this Championship Sunday, having a little extra bonus chat, as it were. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Enjoy the games today. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Go Pack, go.